Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once upon a time, world leaders, including the president or the leader of the free world at the time, it was President Ronald Reagan from the United States, came together and made agreements. Then President Ronald Reagan in 1987 met with Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev, signing the Arms Control Agreement, banning the use of immediate range nuclear missiles. That was the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Reduction Treaty. It happened in 1987. Someone who had a front row seat to that is our next guest. Kenneth Edelman was the deputy U.S. ambassador to the United Nations for 2.5 years, working with Jean Kirkpatrick. He also served as director of the U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency for nearly 5 years during the Reagan administration. He was an advisor to the president during the summits between President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. He is joining us on the line now. Ken, we are so grateful to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to talk to you, Jordana, and it's really nice that Minneapolis is so balmy these days with the 42 degrees.
That's right.
I'm glad about that.
You've been here, so you know that it gets cold. So, yes, we're grateful.
It really gets cold.
We'll take what we can get.
Yes.
So, Ken, before we get into the nuts and bolts of Reagan at Reykjavik and what you witnessed as the U.N. ambassador to the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., excuse me, just kind of ballpark it for me what you're seeing when you watch what is happening, the Soviet invasion of Ukraine on the screen, on your television screen in your home. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it's a new era, that the kind of world that Reagan and Gorbachev had created, and both men were great men of history, has now ended. That Vladimir Putin does things that, you know, are irrational, and that it goes back to the whole idea that history is made by individuals. You know, in Colorado, home, we have all the collection of the Time Magazine Person of the Year since 1927, starting with Lindbergh and going till just last December. And the whole idea of the Time Magazine, which was started in 1923, is that they put people on the cover, and for the Person of the Year, one person on the cover, because people really do shape history. And Reagan and Gorbachev certainly did that in 1986, and Putin does that right now.
Hey, Ken, this is Paul. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you great, Paul.
Welcome to the show.
Yep.
Great to have you here. Hey, I know we don't want to get into a shooting war between Russia and NATO and the United States, but these economic sanctions are on a whole nother level. I mean, one analyst said on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10, and it could literally bring down the Russian economy. I'm just curious, do you think this is going to change behavior on the part of Putin?
It's certainly going to make him very uncomfortable, okay? It's not going to change the near-term behavior because he's very invested in this policy. But what it can change, Paul, is that people around Putin and supporting Putin begin to look at each other, you know, when they go off away from his presence, and look at each other and say, what happened here? I mean, you know, what got into him? Well, where did this go wrong? Because it really does make no sense. Thucydides, you know, writing about history and looking at how wars started many years ago, said that there are three real things that prompt a country into war. Excuse me. And it was fear and interest and honor. Okay? There's nothing to fear about Ukraine if you're a Russian leader. They're not going to attack. They're not going to do anything. In terms of the interest, you know, this is you're not going to get anything by going to war in Ukraine that you couldn't get by just trading and peaceful. In fact, you're, as you say, Paul, the sanctions, you're going to lose a lot. But you do have honor, and honor has been discounted in history as important. And what honor means is that Vladimir Putin felt that at the end of the Cold War, 1990-1991, when the Soviet Empire fell, when the Soviet Union fell, that the honor of the Russian people and people like him, who was a KGB agent, was very much injured. And he was resentful and has been resentful ever since.
Ken, you are somebody that was advising Reagan, that was there when a deal was made with Mikhail Gorbachev. If you were with Volodymyr Zelensky and President Putin, what would your advice be?
Well, I think Zelensky is doing the most important thing he could do, and that is staying in Kiev. And that's a fantastic thing. And calling on his country to rebel, calling on his country to defend itself, calling on his country to be proud of Ukrainians. You know, during World War II, you know, when England was bombed night after night with the Blitz, the King of England, George VI, who was Elizabeth's father, did the most important thing he could do, which was stay in London. A lot of the elite in England sent their kids and their wives to the countryside. Some sent them to Canada because they were safer in Canada, you know, part of the Commonwealth there. And obviously the king was the most important person besides Churchill in London. And when asked many times, let's go to safety, we have to preserve you, he said, I'm staying in London, okay? And my family is staying in London. And Zelensky is, I think, just amazing, where he says, I'm going to be here. Now, the chances are that the Russian troops will overwhelm Ukraine. They have, you know, vast times the number of resources. Chances are it will be a lot more costly than Putin ever suspected. Chances are Zelensky may be killed or certainly captured. You know, as a symbol of the country, that's a great symbol.
Hey, Ken, do we have to worry about Putin waving around the nuclear sword? I mean, he put nuclear forces on a higher state of readiness. Is this all part of the plan here to get us cowering in the corner and not acting on our convictions?
I don't know that, Paul. I don't know that there's a plan to start with. This all seems so irrationally that there's really no plan as we present what's happening. Here's somebody who's lashing out for resentment that he's harbored for these 30 years and doing an ultimate scare of the West. I don't believe that there's any likelihood of a nuclear engagement. I think that President Biden is quite right not to jack up the alert status of U.S. nuclear forces. And just say, you know, this is another or one of Putin's really big bluffs.
Ken, as a former ambassador to the UN, what would you want to see the UN do? And what would you advise Biden to do if he's not already doing it?
I would want the UN to have a lot more fuss about what's happening in Ukraine. It took them days to have an emergency meeting of the General Assembly. I think it would have been good the day after, say Thursday or Friday. I think the Security Council, which now ironically has as its president the Russian ambassador, voting in an emergency meeting, and just a lot of speeches, a lot of decrying, because really one of the big principles, and this has been true since at least 1815, that one of the big principles of international relations is that you don't invade your neighbor, okay? You don't take over your neighbor. Even though they're your neighbor's weak, that there's an assumption that a nation state will stay a nation state. That was the principle in 1990 of the Gulf War, where George Bush had this large coalition, and including lots of Arab countries and Israel, and because simply they didn't want to stop this principle of keeping the borders sanctum and make them a part of the international process, that you're not going to take over neighboring countries. And so I think that Putin is, his explanations for these wars make no sense at all. He says he wants to go into Ukraine, or is in Ukraine, to denazify the country. It's very strange when the president is Jewish, when the president lost relatives in the Holocaust. How much Nazification is there, like none, that has to be denazified? It all makes no sense.
Ken Edelman, we will call on you again, sir. This was very enlightening, and we so appreciate your insights.
Well, I appreciate your questions, and I appreciate the balmy weather of Minneapolis.
Maybe next time we can talk Shakespeare, because those that don't know Ken know he's an expert on Shakespeare. Yes.
I'll put on a hat, a little costume.
Thank you so much, Ken. We appreciate the time.
Very good.
You got
Bye.
It.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.